In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On the third day, our Lord reveals his glory at a wedding. The third day foreshadowed Easter, and the wedding foreshadows the union that the church has with Christ. Christ has slept the sleep of death, and from his side a beautiful bride was created. Our sins are paid for, our guilt is removed, our curse is gone. We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. When he awoke on the third day, the celebration began. No one can separate him from us. For God has joined us together in an eternal communion that not even death can destroy. We are not worthy of this. In Christ's miracles, he shows his mercy and love by taking away the effects of sin and restoring man. But at Cana, his first miracle, he shows his mercy and love by giving more. Now, let's keep in mind that no one is ever worthy of Christ's kindness. The blind did not deserve to have their sight restored. The lepers did not deserve to be cleansed. The dead did not deserve to be raised, for the wages of sin is death. And the guests do not deserve more wine. Yet this first miracle of Christ shows that he has come to make your cup overflow so that you might have joy and gladness of heart. He wants you to enjoy all that he has given to you, not only in the life to come, but also here on this earth. But at Cana, they ran out of wine. Mary prays to the Lord. She does not know what he will do, but she knows that whatever he does will be good. His curt response is meant to draw out her faith. For 30 years, Jesus was a faithful son, but now he begins his public work as the Messiah, and she has no authority to tell him when or how to show mercy. Jesus puts her in her place, and yet she responds in faith. Do whatever he says, she tells the servants. Mary is an image of the church. We do not know what he will do in the coming weeks, months, or years, but we are confident that he is good. So whatever he does, it will be for our good. Like Mary, we live by faith, not by our experiences, not by our reason, not by our feelings. We live by faith. He has not told us everything that will happen, but he has told us all that we need to know. It's humbling. The Word of God puts us in our place. We are the creatures. He is the creator. We are to find joy in whatever he gives to us. Some days we feel that joy. Other days we don't feel much like a Christian. Even now, we gather with less people than before. The singing is not as loud. It's not as uplifting. But that is to live by feelings rather than by faith. Do you think Abraham was joyful when he had to sacrifice his son? But he lived by faith, confident that God is good all the time. Whatever is in our life is a good gift from our Lord, even if it appears as a trouble. Now we can do this because we live in the New Testament. It's a matter of the New Testament is a time of now, but not yet. Christ has died. Christ is risen, but he has not yet returned. We are baptized heirs of heaven, but we are not yet in heaven. All creation is for our good, but sin still decays it. The fulfillment surrounds us, but it's veiled before our eyes. We see adversities. We see dangers. We see a lack of wine. And so we remain constant in prayer as we wait for him to act. We are confident that he will give us joy. It's ours right now, though we do not know it fully. But he will bless us, and our hearts will sing his praises. Like Mary, let us learn our place. We cannot tell him how to be merciful or what to do any more than Mary could. We are not co-saviors with Christ. But the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Mary prayed to the Lord, and she was not disappointed. He heard her prayer, and he filled 6 stone jars to the brim with water. These stone jars represent the law. Man runs around abusing the gifts of God, searching for some fleeting pleasure. He wants joy, but he will never find it on this earth, for the stone tablets of the law remain a hindrance. The soul that sins shall die, it says. No Jew or Gentile can avoid death. So because of sin, life's pleasures end, and the joys we thought were fulfilling come crashing down like a house of cards. So why would we ever look for lasting joy and happiness on this earth? The law remained a repetitive task that no man could fulfill. But Christ kept the law. He filled it up to the brim. He loved God and he served his neighbor. Mary added nothing. The servants added nothing. You add nothing. He has heard your prayers. And he answers them by keeping the law in your place. When the servants took some of the water out to the master of the banquet, it was changed into wine. So also, when Christ keeps the law, that heavy, burdensome law becomes the sweet nectar of the gospel of what Christ has done for you. As the bridegroom receives the credit, so you receive the credit, the praise of what Christ has done. You are declared perfect. You are declared good. You are declared righteous because of him. His death is counted as yours. His resurrection is yours, for you are united to him in baptism. And there he is, standing over his grave triumphant on the third day, revealing his glory to the nations. And he reveals that same glory to you in the Holy Supper. You have prayed to him for a whole variety of things. And he answers your prayer by changing bread to his body and wine to his blood. Regardless of how you feel today or how your week went, he wants to fill you with joy, a lasting, eternal joy. And so your cup overflows. He gave the wedding guests more wine than they needed, and he gives you more forgiveness, more mercy, and more love than you can receive. His blood cleanses you from all your sins and fills you with his love. It rushes down your throat, carrying with it joy beyond all measure. And when you have received him in faith, then you are sanctified by him. And then he gives you back all of creation to enjoy as well. He gives you back fatherhood, motherhood, childhood, and all other vocations so that your joy may be complete. He gives you money and wine and prosperity, for he wants you to enjoy his gifts. So this is the first of all his miracles, because it reveals that he has come to give joy and gladness. To do this, he keeps the law perfectly for you, dies to recreate you, rises from the dead to give you a celebration like none other. And what we celebrate today, we will continue to celebrate in the wedding halls of heaven, and our joy shall be complete. Thanks be to God that what the psalmist says, Christ has fulfilled. Wine gladdens the heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.